Now, the lovely psalm that we have read together this morning has been on many occasions termed as Luther's psalm. You see, from this psalm here, that man, Martin Luther, that we all know so much about, he derived great encouragement from this psalm in seasons of distress and grief, and in seasons of great testing. You will perhaps know that Martin Luther studied to be a priest, and indeed he did become a priest, and he made the journey all the way to Rome itself after becoming a priest. Whilst he was there visiting that place, he was awakened to the fact there that what he was involved in didn't have the ring of truth about it. And that dear man, after all his study and after all of his diligence, he had no peace with God whatever. Until one day, under the operation of the Spirit of God, his blinded eyes began to flicker. And Martin Luther learned the great truth that peace with God was to be found through faith alone, in Christ alone. And friends, when that dawned on his heart and soul, he put his whole faith and trust and dependence on my blessed Saviour. And from that point onwards, dear friends, he stood firmly against false systems, took a bold stand. Now, that bold stand brought him into times of great testing and great times of trial and distress. But you know, dear friends, whenever the pressure was great, he would often say to a good friend who accompanied him, a man by the name of Philip Melanthon, he would say to Philip, he says, Philip, come on and we'll sing the 46th Psalm. And that's what the pair of them used to do whenever they were pushed into a corner and they were oppressed and afflicted. And here's what they used to sing. A sure stronghold our God is he, a timely shield and weapon. Our help he'll be and set us free from every ill can happen. Where the world with devils filled, all eager to devour us, our souls to fear shall little yield. They cannot overpower us. My, the pair of them used to sing that many a time, whenever they were oppressed by many a foe on every side. Of course, it was Martin Luther who went on to pen a number of hymns. One of those lovely hymns that's even in our hymn book, he penned the words, "A mighty fortress is our God." And it's based on this lovely psalm, this Psalm 46. Now, friends, this morning as we meet here, I want to suggest to you, dear friends, that the God who has been the help of his people in a past age is our only hope now for the years to come. I trust we all understand that. The God who has been our help in ages past, listen, is our hope, our only hope for the years to come. My, today we live in a troubled world. I don't think I have any need to elaborate much on that. But we live in a very troubled world today. My, at this very moment, men's hearts are failing them for fear. You've got to just lift a newspaper, turn on a television news screen. Dear friends, you don't know where you're going to hear of trouble boiling up again. And the leaders of the great nations today, listen, their hearts are failing them for fear. What about financial institutions? Why aren't they crumbling? Why, they're very, very uncertain today. And you know, dear friends, the thing about it is this. With all of this trouble and with all of this rest and commotion in this restless world, it can cause great distractions for God's people. Sometimes God's people's minds can get carried away and they can forget the great fact that God is still on the throne. And none of these things are happening by chance. Dear friends, here in this 46th Psalm, you know the Lord has good news for His people in troubled times. There's good news for God's people here in troubled times. You notice as we have read down through that inspired Psalm, that it's inspired into three separate sections. You'll notice the wee word Selah. It's mentioned on three occasions. And there's three different divisions I see in that psalm. And there's three simple thoughts that I want to bring to this congregation this morning. First of all, I want you to notice there's a refuge that's mentioned here. That's in the first division. In the second division of the psalm, there's a river mentioned. And in the last wee section of the psalm, our minds are directed to our ruler. That's what we want to think about for just a few minutes in the meeting this morning. A refuge, a river, and a ruler. Now let us first of all think about the refuge here. Here's a refuge to hide in. Refuge to hide in. You know, this Psalm 46 was written at a critical time. I think it's important just to briefly refresh our minds what led to the writing and the penning of this psalm under the direction of God the Holy Spirit. You see, during the reign of the godly king Hezekiah, a man by the name of Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, they did invade Judah. They were invading all the countries round about them, marching on. And here they are now. They're advancing on Jerusalem. And you know, if you were to read 2 Kings and read that 19th chapter, take the time to go down through it, you'll discover there that Sennacherib and the Assyrian armies, they're advancing on Jerusalem. And they're threatening the very God that Hezekiah worships. Dear friends, there came a point where they sent a letter by the hand of a messenger to godly Hezekiah. Dear friends, that letter was really giving Hezekiah the opportunity to surrender to the advancing armies. And so, dear friends, that moment comes whenever that letter is read out publicly before Hezekiah. Now, what did Hezekiah do on that occasion? You know, it's lovely to notice what Hezekiah did. You know, dear friends, that letter that was read out in the hearing of the king took it, and he calmly went up to the house of the Lord. You know what he did? The letter that was read out in his hearing, he spread it out before the Lord. And down on his knees, he sought the Lord for divine intervention. You see, dear friends, these folk are in a situation. They're closed in on every side, no way out, no way through. Dear friends, he pours out his heart to the God of heaven. Remember, he was a godly king. Listen, friends, on that very night, you can read of it in 2 Kings chapter 19. And at the verse 35, you read that Hezekiah's prayer was answered that very night. For the Lord sent his angel, and that very night, 185,000 of the enemy perished in one night. And friends, that's the background to the writing of this psalm. That's the background to the writing of this psalm. You see, dear friends, I think you notice that the need for this refuge is obvious. The need for this refuge is obvious. It's there in the verse 2. Look at what it says. Therefore will not we fear. Dear friends, fear had gripped the hearts of this people. Here's the advancing Syrian armies. My, they can see them in the distance. They're ever drawing closer. And my, their hearts are filled with fear. You see, they feared this impossible situation in their lives. You see, they were in trouble. That's obvious from verse 1. It says there, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Why, they were in trouble. Their hearts feared. You know, dear friends, it could well be in a meeting like this today that there's somebody here, and behind a smile, there's a big concern, there's a troubled heart. Mind you, behind many a smile, there's many a heartache, there's many a tear, many an uncertainty. And it could be for someone this meeting, I don't know you today, but listen, it could well be that there's something and it's heavy on your heart. You see no way out and you see no way through today. Just like those dear folk, there away so many years ago, there were outside influences and they made life so difficult. Maybe there's outside influences. Maybe they've affected you. Maybe you have a heavy heart today. But listen, listen, dear brother, dear sister, today, listen. There's a refuge to hide in. Don't want you to lose sight of that now in all of your trouble, whatever it may be. Listen, there's a refuge for you to hide in. You see, dear friends, these folk feared for their future. They feared for their future there. It says, though the earth be removed. Now, what did they mean by the earth being removed? Did they mean the planet? No, they didn't. That word, the earth being removed there, it meant their land, the very piece of land that they lived on and enjoyed that was given to them by God. Listen, they feared the very future of their land, though it be removed. That word removed, you know what that means? It simply means, though it change hands. You know, you could read that verse, and I don't think we'll be taken away from the Word of God by reading it and saying, though our land change hands, I think we could say here, and I don't think we'll be doing injustice to God's Word. Friends, that's what they feared. They were in danger here. But you know, they had a refuge to hide in. But you know, the need for this refuge is not only obvious. The nature of this refuge is glorious. Oh, dear friends, come and look at this for a minute. The nature of this refuge is glorious. You see, it's personal. It's personal. God is, don't miss that wee word, are. That's a possessive word, isn't it? That's a possessive word. Refuge. He's talking about God is our refuge and strength. Dear friends, it's personal. You know the refuge here, this mentions a military term. And you know it indicates a place of safety for an advancing enemy, a cruel enemy. Listen, friends, that's what's available now for every child of God today. There's a personal place of refuge for you if you know and love the Savior today. My, isn't it great to be able to say, He's mine, mine, mine. I know Thou art mine, dear Saviour. I know Thou art mine. My, He's a refuge for the time of storm. I wonder, maybe are you here today and you can testify to the fact that He is a refuge. Maybe you can already say with the man who penned those words, how oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. Listen, friends, how often have I hidden in the blessed rock of ages and hidden my soul there. Ah, listen, friends, it's great to have this place of refuge, isn't it? I wonder, have we all got that place of refuge today? Do you ever stop to think of that? Maybe you're here today. And the brethren here are so pleased to see you here on a regular basis. But let me ask you kindly, do you know the Savior? Do you know the refuge I'm talking about? Are you saved today? Do you know your sins forgiven? Friend, take it kindly today now. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior now, you have no refuge for the coming judgment storm. Oh, you haven't, friends. Yes, it's a personal refuge. Isn't that glorious? But something else, look at it again, it's permanent. It's permanent, isn't it? Why, whenever you read down the second and the third verses there, look at the upheaval there. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, why, when this old earth is thrown into convulsions, here's something solid, here's something lasting, dear friends. It's permanent, whatever the upheaval. Here's something the psalmist is talking about. My, it stands forever sure. Ah, yes, it's not only personal, it's not only permanent, but you know it's purposeful. You know, sometimes the Lord allows the storms to blow into our lives, doesn't he? Very often it has to happen. Why does he allow it? Friends, he allows it to happen in order that we might run and hide in him. And you know, whenever we hide in him, he wants to help us. It's a place of enablement, a place to face the problems of life. Listen, friends, the psalmist there, he's written there about the refuge to hide in, and then he sets the inspired pen down. There's a stop. Selah. Why, I can almost see him setting the pen down. My, as his mind drifts away to that refuge that he has to hide in. My, I can see him enjoying the very thoughts of what it means to be hidden in the cleft rock of ages. But then the moment comes when he takes up the inspired pen again. What does he talk about now? He talks now about a river. My, here's a river to draw from. If there's a refuge there to hide in, here's a river to draw from. You know, dear friends, if there's a river to draw from, the people needn't faint. The people needn't faint if there's that river to draw from. Friends, I want to suggest to you, first of all, this is a marvelous river. It's a marvelous river. Now, river, this marvelous river, it's ever flowing. It's continuous. You know, rivers have always been very important down through history, haven't they? I think we would all agree with that today. Why, we read about the city of Babylon there in the scriptures quite often, don't we? Why didn't it spring up around the mighty Euphrates River? Don't we read of Rome? Ah, yes, it grew up, it sprung up on the banks of the Tiber, didn't it? What about London, a bit closer to home? Why didn't it spring up on the Thames? Ah, come far closer to home. What about Belfast? Belfast on the Lagan. You see, friends, rivers, they're important. And they have been right down through history. You know, dear friends, if an enemy could cut off the supply in times of conflict, I think we would all know that victory would very quickly follow. Victory would very quickly follow, wouldn't it? Now, friends, the ancient city of Jerusalem, that ancient walled city of Jerusalem, it didn't have a flowing supply of water. And it was only whenever Hezekiah dug that conduit, the scriptures call it there, 1,750 feet in length, and he brought it water in right underground, under the old walled city of Jerusalem. Dear friends, it was only then that this ancient walled city had a running supply of water. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 20, and again in 2 Chronicles 32. You can read about how Hezekiah dug underground, concealed. There it is, a hidden supply, and it's flowing right into the ancient walled city of Jerusalem. Brethren and sisters, today I want to take you not to a river that flows into Jerusalem. I want to take you today to a river that flows from God above. What is it? It's the river of God's grace. It's pure. It's exhaustless. It's ever flowing. Wondrous grace. It has reached me. I wonder, has it reached you today? Oh, friends, isn't this river glorious? Isn't it? You see, it flows from God above. It's the river of God's grace. But look at that again. This river has a mysterious resident. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her on that right early. You see, dear friends, we know now who this one is that brings in this hidden supply right into those who are needy. Listen, friends, it's none other than the one whose delights were with the sons of men, the Lord Jesus. Friends, he's the one that supplies that great river of grace. I see him in the scriptures at the tender age of 12. There he is in the temple buildings amongst the doctors, asking them questions and chatting with them. I see him a little later on there in the midst of his people in an upper room following the resurrection. I read of him walking amongst the candlesticks or the lampstands, don't I? What about those gathered in his name? I read of him being in the midst of them. Listen, brethren, we have met in his name today. Where the twos and threes meet in that precious name. He's here in the very midst of his people. And who is he? He's Emmanuel, God with us. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Now, what does Emmanuel mean? Doesn't it mean God with us? Listen, friends. It's Emmanuel. That's the one who's met with his people in this great time of need here. Here's the source of refreshment, friends. Here's the source of restoration and reviving. And friends, it's for a weary people. And listen, it comes from a triune God. Just think about that for a moment. It's coming from a triune God. It's coming from God the Father, the very one that these people had forsaken. What did these people do? Well, they forsook their God, didn't they? And they had hewn out cisterns that couldn't hold water. They were broken cisterns that could hold no water, according to Jeremiah chapter 12, chapter 2. It's from God the Son. He's a triune God. God the Son. He's a fountain of, the one who's the fountain of salvation, the fountain of life itself, opened in that day for sin and for cleansing in the house of David. Ah, yes, but it's from God the Holy Spirit. Whoso drinketh of this water that I give shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Oh, listen, friends, what a bountiful supply. That's what the psalmist here is talking about. My sets the pen down again. My, can't you see his mind drifting away there? And he's trying to absorb the great truths that the Spirit of God has put on his heart to pen. And then for the last time he lifts the pen. He begins to write under the inspiration of God. What does he speak about this time? He speaks about a ruler. And here's a ruler here to lean on. Here's a ruler to lean on. You know, Daniel chapter 4 tells us that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Doesn't it? Well, dear friends, here then is Psalm number 46. And doesn't it bear that out exactly? You see, dear friends, he's the one whose power is unlimited. Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Listen, friends, could you imagine the psalmist here? My, he gets up some morning. Remember the situation these people find themselves in. Dear friends, there he is. He climbs up onto the high walls of that ancient city. My dear friend, can't you see him looking down from the battlements there? What does he see? What does he see as he looks down from the battlements of the ancient walled city? Listen, friends, his eyes are met with a scene of devastation. A scene of devastation. What did he see? My, he could hardly take in that the Lord so promptly had answered prayer. My, there's scattered ruins all around. Remember, in one night, 185,000 of the enemy had perished. That's the scene that met the eyes of this dear man as he looked out over the battlements. And then listen to what he says. Come, come, behold what the Lord hath done. You see that? Behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made of the earth. What's he doing? He's simply calling to the residents within the ancient city. Look, come, come and see for yourself. Look at the devastation here. Look what the Lord hath done. Listen, friends, today you and I are engaged with a ruthless enemy, mind you. A ruthless enemy. He's out to wreck ruin in lives, in homes, and in testimonies. Dear friends, he's ruthless. Now, I don't need to elaborate on that. You folk will know all about it, for there's nowhere immune from it now. Nowhere immune from it. But listen, don't forget and don't lose sight of this great fact, that we have one whose power is unlimited. Whose power is unlimited. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yes, he's the one whose power is unlimited. His purpose is undisguised. How does God help? Look at verse 10. How does God help? Well, he says, stand still. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Stand still. What does it mean there? What does that mean whenever it says there, stand still? Well, friends, it simply means, look, here's a situation. And it's a way outside of your control. And the Lord's just simply saying, look, you just keep your hands off it now. That's just plain speaking. You'd understand that, brethren, wouldn't you? I believe that's what the Lord's saying. He's just simply saying, look, brethren, there's a situation here. You're no match for it. You can't deal with it. Just you take your hands off it and leave it all with me. Isn't that exactly what Hezekiah did? Remember? The letter that came to Hezekiah and was read out brought dreadful news. It was really calling for him to throw down his arms and surrender. But what did Hezekiah do? Why, the letter that was read out was simply brought and spread out in the house of God and prayed over earnestly by that godly king. That's what Hezekiah did, you see. He kept his hands off it. It's a situation that he had no match for. You see, friends, God still specializes in things thought impossible. He still specializes in it, doesn't he? And that's the God that we have today, friends. But lastly, his person is unequaled. His person is unequaled. Look at it. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Friends, his person is unequaled. I am God. You know, I like the way it's put here. He's the God of Jacob. I like that. He didn't say, I am the God of Abraham. Now, Abraham was a man of faith. He was a great man, wasn't he? The father of the faithful, the founding father of the nation. But it doesn't say, I am the God of Abraham. No, no. He's the God of Jacob. Well, what about Jacob? You know, Jacob, he was very often a failure, wasn't he? He was a bit of a schemer, wasn't he? A bit of a rascal. My, he failed so many times, Jacob. But yet God says here, I am the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, I can identify more easily with Jacob than I can with Abraham. You see, friends, I think all of us, if we're honest today before God, we've got to admit, look, many a time we're failures. Many a time we'll let the Lord down. Ah, yes, many a time we're made to grieve over our feelings, but look at it, listen. Why can't we identify more easily with it? Even whenever we feel him. Oh, brethren, take courage from this. Even whenever we feel him and let him down, he cares and he understands. Oh, friends, we have a sympathetic high priest today, haven't we? He's a friend in need. He's a friend indeed. And you know, Paul Gerhardt, the penman, put it this way: give to the wind thy fears, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears thy way. Wait thou his time. He shall this night soon end in glorious day. That's the way the penman put it. Didn't he get it right? And then we have got that blessed Sela once again. The inspired pen is set down. There in the hustle and bustle of life, he rests with confidence in his God. Brethren, that's what the Lord would call us to do today. To rest with confidence in him. As I said at the beginning, we're living in a restless world. A world that's warring all around us, and the distractions are great. But listen, friends, don't lose sight of the fact that God is on the throne today now. None of these things are happening all around worldwide by chance. He's directing, and he wants his people's minds to be stayed upon him and to rest with confidence in him. What about you now before we leave today? You who may be with us and you're without the Saviour. Friends, I would be failing in my duty today if I was not to say to you, you need a refuge now for the coming storm. Mind you, there's a storm coming. And the storm clouds of the wrath of God, mind you, the people of God, if they're reading their Bibles, they can see them gathering. You know, one of these days they're going to burst on this ungodly scene. And my dear friend, today take it kindly from one who loves your soul. You need a shelter whenever that storm of God's wrath breaks. Listen, there is but one tried and tested refuge. It's a shelter that's been tried and found to be very sweet. You know what it is? It's the blessed rock of ages. The blessed rock of ages that was cleft on the behalf of sinners. And listen, friends, you who may be with us and you know not my Savior, listen, he invites you to come. Hide in him today. Find rest not only for your soul, for the remainder of the wee journey of life, but find rest, eternal rest, for the world that is to come. Oh, listen, dear friend, today, don't go away without the Savior now. Don't go away without the Savior. Come to this refuge. Make no delay. I come this very day now. Put your faith, your trust in what Christ has done on that center cross. Friend, if you do that today and rest on the unchanging Word of God, listen, you'll have peace unto that soul of yours for the remainder of your days, and you'll have eternal peace and rest throughout an endless eternity. Oh, may you come today to trust him, brethren and sisters. Take the Word of God with you today. Keep your eyes on the Lord through all of the distractions of life. And rest in him, whatever the circumstances all around may be. I trust the Lord will bless his Word to our hearts for his name's sake.